Ever been super excited about an offer or something you just created and you go to actually try to promote it and you totally freeze? Yeah, I think we have all absolutely positively been there. You go to make your move and then the fear of sounding pushy or spammy wins again. And I want you to know, one, you're not alone. Two, it's not you. It's 100% what I call the open. It's your open. Well, it's not what I call the open. It is indeed the open. And today, we are going to fix that, and we're going to fix it fast so that when you get off this podcast, you're going to be able to use it today. Hey, if you're new here, I'm Genevieve Scorey, former sales exec for a $350 million brand, coach to thousands of women, and your straight talking new sales coach who coaches for growth without the gross. This is Fix This, Grow Fast. And we're in a series that fixes sales advice that doesn't feel like you. If you are here, I am so excited for you because here's why you're excited for you. I know you're going to be excited by the end because so many people give tactics that I know you are telling yourself doesn't feel like you. And nobody tells you, well, then how do you fix that? How do I integrate myself? But here's what they also don't tell you. And that is that your personality is your competitive edge. No one can compete with you when you show up as you. No one. Your personality is indeed your edge and your superpower. If you have not listened to episode 7, take a lap back there later, because that's like we're in a series, but that's really where we break this all down and we help you figure out what your distinct traits are, your natural styles of communication, and how to wrap that all into your sales presence. So definitely go back and listen to that. And I will actually also put in the show notes the guide to figure out your sales DNA. It's a 10-minute thing. You're going to love it. But as an entrepreneur, you have two choices. You can either wait for business, which a lot of people mistakenly do, or you can find business. When you go to wait for business, you're going to drain not only your bank account, mamas, but you are going to drain your confidence too. You really honestly and truly will, because you never get enough reps in and you think that waiting for people to buy, waiting for people to upgrade, waiting for people to call you back, that's not what us high performers are doing. The other side of the fence here, actually going to find the business, will help you grow spiritually, emotionally, professionally, and financially. So you have to choose wisely. And I would encourage you to start to look at your business and ask yourself, am I waiting or am I finding? But here's the number one reason that people choose to wait even when they're excited. It's simply because they don't know what to say without sounding spammy or without sounding pushy, which, by the way, are two sides of the same coin. Now, I teach consent-based, authentic, and safe scripting and selling. And I do that because I understand how the nervous system reacts when it doesn't feel safe. This is designed for both you and your prospects to feel safety in all your conversations, because when there's no safety, they are going to bounce. So we're circling back around to a framework that we call the OCAIN, O-C-A-I-N framework. Again, boop, bounce back to the last episode so that you can hear more detail about the OCAIN method. But you can stay here because we are going to talk about the O in OCAIN, which is the opener. The open is the most important part of a script. And by the way, back in the last episode, we talk about the value of using scripts, but not being the script. But the O is where people make the most mistakes. And the O is the part where people pay the least amount of attention. Now, I also teach that every sentence in your script should have a job. And any script somebody gives you, if they can't tell you why that sentence is in that script, well-meaning people, I'm sure, but maybe not the best advice. This is how people end up with rambling. This is how people end up with spammy scripts. Like every sentence in your script should have a job. And the opener is super, super important because it's one job. It's one job is to create safety and relevance so that your prospect wants to keep the conversation going. So if your first line trips their "I'm being sold to" alarms, you're done. You're done. If you're getting ghosted a lot, 9 times out of 10, it's your opener, friend. It's your opener. So let's start off with what not so great openers look like. And I know you may not like this because maybe you use these things, but I'm just here to tell you the truth, right? Hey, girl. Hey, girl. Hey, friend. Hey, babe. Those are all like, done, overdone. Don't use those. If you follow with, or you start with, "I would love it if," "I would love it if," or I need 10 more people to say yes so that I can go on this really great trip. Like those things, no. Professionals, no. No. And we'll talk about why in just a minute. Quick question. That's also kind of a, are you open to, which, I will tell you, are you open to? If that's your starter, yuck. Okay. And then I'm here to tell you, fake urgency. So once in a lifetime, never going to happen again. Closing in 24 hours. When those are all your openers, it screams, "I'm being sold to." And all of these, by the way, they miss the mark because they're too generic and they're self-centered. I'm going to say it because they're self-centered. And they're pressure coded. Like there's a fakeness about them that people are wiser to. And none of that creates safety or relevance, which is the number one job of the opener. If you're looking to create an opener, what you want is a really simple four-step ingredient formula. I love recipes. So it's context plus warmth plus permission plus a micro purpose. And all of those things are much easier than they sound. So context is like a trigger event. It tells the person, why me? Why now? So when I get a DM, it should be very clear to me, especially if we're not really good friends, why you are reaching out to me. So you need to do the work, the good work of naming the moment in their world that makes that message timely. And I would invite you to go back and look at all of your scripts and ask yourself, do they have the right trigger events? Do they even have a trigger event, or are they super generic? There has to be context for the brain to say, this is safe. Next is warmth. It's super easy. Put something in that opener that's like, I see you, no judgment. We're being human and we are not hyping. There is also next permission, which is like, you know, hey, I want your consent to offer something to you. So I'm going to ask before I offer help. So many times openers, you know, are just like, boop, here's what you need to do. Or boop, you know, like slow your roll. Like take a beat, take a minute. You should ask for permission. Do you want it? Like this is one of my things when people sample, I'm always asking the question, did you get their contact info? Why are you giving samples out? Like it's like, doesn't cost you anything. You have to ask people, are you going to use it? Do you want it? Can I get like, oh my gosh, even digitally, it's like, here's the three things that I did. Well, I didn't tell you I was open. The reason this is a problem is it will erode your confidence because you'll tell yourself, I'm doing all the things when you are, but you're not doing them in the right order or with the right intention. And then last is this notion of a micro purpose, which is like the tiny thing that you're offering them. And again, micro, it's like a micro commitment. I want you to make a micro commitment. Read the little thing, try the little sample. Let's get on a 5-minute call, watch the short video, whatever that micro purpose is after you've gotten permission. Now, a little quick psychology for you. If you don't do these things, and what happens is a lot of people are taught to lead with their own achievements and their own urgencies. And I have to tell you, this will raise all kinds of red flags for your prospects. Your opener must tie to their reality and their trigger events, not your next title, not your record-setting month, not your, you know, I told myself that I would get 5 of these. All I need is 10 people and I'm going to earn a something. Like prizes, titles, record months. We love that for you. We really do. It's a terrible first line. It's a terrible first line. You always start where they live, not where you are. So let's break these down one at a time. If we were talking about the context or the trigger event, this is part of what you should be doing every day. So when people say, two things I hear people say, one is, I don't know what to say to people. And the other is, I don't have any more people to say things to, which I never believe. Sorry, I just don't. I mean, unless you're actually in your house just watching TV all day or scrolling the internet all day. But even if you're scrolling the internet, you should be looking for reasons to reach out to people. The difference between a pro and a spammer is this step here. I actually did the work to earn the right to reach out. Now, there's a ton of people that will tell you, hey, it's just a numbers game. Just go ahead, send it to everybody you know, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you can do that. You 100% could do that. You better have thousands and thousands and thousands of new people to reach out to every day, because your email list or your texting list is going to get shorter every time you do that. And it's much more rewarding for most people to actually work on a consent-based, non-pushy sort of way. So what you're going to look for part of your day every day is to be out doing what I call fishing. You're fishing. You're looking. You're surveying the land. Where are the fish biting? So as you're scrolling through social media, as you're talking to people, as you're out and about every single day, you should be looking for these trigger events in people. And by the way, identifying a trigger event does not mean that you, at that moment in time, go back and you start with your opener. In some cases, that works. In a lot of cases, you might need a minute, and that's okay. But as long as you don't wait too long, right? As long as you don't wait too long. And by the way, the better you get at this, the shorter that time period will become for you, because you're more comfortable with how to start the conversation. But the first step is I got to look for these trigger events. And you can find them in people's social media content. They said something, they posted something. It was in a story. It was in an email. It was in a podcast. I will put this little caveat in there. Lots of people use these kinds of things as like clickbait and engagement bait. But within your friend circle and your prospect circle and your existing customer circle, 100%, you should be able to count on this to be legitimate. And I want you to understand, so many people don't understand that there's the first sale and then there's repeat sales. These conversations are the same. They are the same. They said something, did something, showed something that made you think, oh my gosh, they need help. So it could be content. It could be a conversation. It could also be calendar. It's like, okay, Christmas is coming. I mean, not yet. I mean, it kind of is. It's pumpkin season. Like, it's fall. A lot of people have fall products. Back to school season. Those are all reasons that are based on the calendar. So that counts. That's a trigger event that you would mention in your opener. There might be changes in their life, new roles, maybe a new business, a price update, Maybe they hired someone, joined something. Maybe they had a location change. Maybe they're moving. And then also people, when they talk and they complain about things, those are also really good trigger events. Now, What you want to do is use your sales DNA. Use your sales DNA. Again, link in the show notes if you haven't actually created your own unique sales DNA. But you're going to intertwine your personality in here to keep things clean and authentic. And I will tell you, when you work on your social media strategically, you can create these trigger events. You can actually create polls and surveys where people ask things that are relevant to what you offer and how you show up. The biggest mistake I see people make is they just copy what Kathy did. And Kathy has a completely different personality than you. So it works for Kathy, but it doesn't work for you. So you have to always remember, it's got to sound and look like you. I have a big passion for pickleball, working out, family time, sales without being spammy, having your own thing. Those are all part of who I am. So I'm not going to be posting about things like a lot of other people might, with different interests and loves. I also like travel. You're right. So it would be weird of me to take somebody's, you know, fashion, you know, question and plug it into my thing and then call all my customers who replied. I know that makes sense and it sounds really obvious, but there's nuances here that sometimes people don't see. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I see it a lot. I see somebody start a post and then I see it ripple. And I see it ripple and I'm like, oh, this started over here and that made sense for them. It doesn't always make sense for you. But when you have a strong social media strategy, you're able to put these things in so that they do make sense. But here's the caveat. You can't constantly be asking people, how many of you want to lose weight, right? If you sell weight loss, you can't constantly be asking people, how many of you would like to have more money, right? Those things are just going to lose their power over time. So you have to be strategic about them. And as I mentioned, they can't be random. They have to fit the specific context about what it is you do and what you offer. Okay, so now that you found the event, now we need you to show up. We need you. We need you to craft an opener that sounds like you. If you're not a hey girl person, and listen, I don't think anybody's really a hey girl person. Don't start with that. You know, I say things a lot, like I say, listen, Linda, and I will say things that are just part of my kind of distinctive traits. I have a little bit of a sassy style and I have this attachment to phrases. You probably can't use those and pull them off. Your audience is going to find that weird. So go through that DNA sheet and really think about, like, what are the things I say so that when I reach out to someone, I can say the things that they expect me to say. I know that makes sense when you actually do it. It may not make sense in the moment, because if you haven't broken down what those things are that you say, how you show up, you might be unconscious to what actually is working for you. And that guide takes you through some really great questions, including asking your friends, what are some of the things I say that, you know, endear me to you? Like, you want to know those specific things, because some people are going to be hypey. Some people are going to want to lead with numbers and be super literal and, you know, be very data driven. Other people are going to cast huge vision and other people are going to be super calm. So you want to know what it is that is going to sound the most like you, because one thing that will drive people away faster than you know is you sound like a robot or you sound weird and they're like, oh, I didn't even realize that was from like Genevieve. Okay. All right. So you've got the trigger event. You found a way to make it sound like you. Now, I'm very straight to the point. And this is also, by the way, why you don't want to do the bait and switch thing. So many people are like, I want to warm them up first. I want to go, hey, how are you? How are the kids? And we just got done talking about every sentence has to have a job. How are you and how are the kids does not provide context. It does not. As a matter of fact, it will make people really skeptical of you, because when you start to bait and switch, like, it's like, hi, how are you? We haven't talked in forever. Well, then I would say, you know what? Then you don't really, you haven't earned a right to reach out to them. You've not earned a, you haven't earned a right to reach out. One of the things people ask me the most is, well, when can I find, like, how long do I have to create a relationship before I reach out to someone? And I'm like, okay, well, first of all, Linda, just listen, Linda. The deal here is it's not use the relationship to make a sale. So we're just going to, whoop, we're going to take that off the table. It is create a relationship, be genuinely interested in them. And when you, by the way, have a circle of enough people that you are interested in, you will increase the likelihood of seeing people's requests for help through a trigger event. So I don't care if I met you yesterday, last year, last month, last decade. If you are posting about something I can help you with and I can tie it to an opening, I will bust a move. Why? Because I really do want to help you. So if you tell me that you're struggling to create income, let's say we just met for coffee yesterday and we exchange information. I'm a big, big fan of, you know what? This is really fun. Are you on social media? This is me. Boop. Where are you? Are you on social media? Like, this is why you put people in your social media. Then you can then go, I saw your story and I would reach out. I would reach out. But we're going to talk through that. So the first thing is, it's got to be in your, it's got to mention the event in your voice. And here's another rule, in one breath, in one breath. So you can't have these long, sometimes I see people's scripts and I'm like, girl, nobody's going to read that whole thing. Or maybe someone is going to read it, but the 10 people you're going to turn off before you find the one that would probably isn't really worth it. So let's say that I saw somebody posting about how they're struggling with getting ghosted. Okay. So I would send a voice message because that's my style. I would rather them hear my voice. And I would say, hey, I saw your story about your like constant ghosting. Been there, done it. Right? You could say, been there, done it. I would probably write, ugh, you're ghosting. Your client's ghosting you all the time. And ugh. Like if I was writing it, I would say, ugh. I don't say, ugh. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? So that's why I don't love to write it. I'd rather say it. But let's say I was going to say it. I'd say, hey, I saw your post about your no-shows the other day. And we have all been there. Every single one of us. And it's not you. It's probably just something you don't know. And I have this 2-minute idea that I think could get you ghosted less and having more fun. Are you open to it or have you got this under control? In that simple sentence was the trigger, some warmth. We've all been there. That's the warmth, right? I have a 2-minute idea. That's my micro commitment. And then the consent part is, are you open to it or no? I also very often will teach, I have no idea if you're open to this or not, but I have a 2-minute idea. Let me know if you want to hear it, right? If not, okay. And so it's all tied together based around the thing that I saw. Now, remember that your micro purpose really ties in your intention, because if you just stop at the trigger and the warmth, you're kind of back in like waiting, because a lot of people are really good at trigger and warmth. So you might, I've seen this before. People are like, oh my gosh, I saw your story about not getting people to return your calls in a timely fashion. I totally get that. Same. And then you stop thinking that they're going to get back to you. Like they can read your mind and know what it is you offer. And that very rarely works. And the same is true. Like that's the other problem I have with like, hey, how are you? How's your family? Like, it's not contextual. And so many times people start that conversation and they kind of stop, but they have like an agenda for the rest of it. And it just doesn't work. It causes confusion. Hey, I saw that you lost 50 pounds. That's amazing. When really what you want is you want them to try a product to keep the weight off. Are you picking up what I'm laying down here? So if you follow this all the way through, and it does take just a tiny bit of practice, like you're going to write some of this down when you get off this podcast, and it's going to make all the difference in the world. So let's take three triggers. Let's take a weight plateau, someone needing some extra income, and someone relocating. Now, I will tell you, it's different as to whether you DM or you email or your voice message, but the formula is exactly the same. So if somebody had commented like, oh my gosh, I've been the same weight for 3 weeks, I can't believe it, I'm maybe going to DM them and say, saw your post about hitting your weight plateau. That is so frustrating. I have been there. Okay. So there's my warmth and my trigger. I have a 2-minute tip that absolutely has broken people's weight plateau without adding any extra gym time or cutting calories, right? Do you want it? You want to know, or you got to figure it out, right? So there's my permission as well as this is what I'm offering. Now, as you can see, what didn't I do? I didn't go, and I had this starter kit and it's $9.95, or I got a starter kit and it's $10 off. That's just too far of a jump for this stage in the conversation. And people make this mistake. You need to slow down a little bit. Let's say I see somebody posting about needing some extra income, thinking about getting a second or a third job. I might actually pick up the phone and voice message them and say, hey, I don't know if I can be helpful to you or not, right? So I'm leading with permission, but I saw your story about having to go back to work and taking little Jimmy to daycare, and it just broke my heart, okay? So more warmth, more empathy. I have no idea if it's a fit for you or not, but I have an idea that could help you get the best of both worlds. Are you open to hearing about it? It's about 5 minutes, 2 minutes. It's this is what I'm doing. There's no, for you guys in network marketing, there's no, do you want to join my team? There's no, oh, by the way, now it's free to get in. Like, that's just further down the conversation line. We are talking about how to start conversations in this podcast. So let's say somebody is a realtor and they happen to see a friend talking about a relocation. So they might reach out and say, hey, I just wanted to follow up on your move announcement. I totally and completely know this can be fun, and it can also be a little hectic. I have a one pager that helps people figure out all their steps of relocating and finding the best new neighborhoods. If you wanted it, I could send it over, or maybe you already have that under control. Easy peasy. So notice how the core idea stays the same, and you can change the packaging, or you can change the some of the elements based on whether you're voice messaging, emailing, or texting someone. All right, but here are some key things that you want to know. If you're using a direct message, it's the best practices say 1 to 2 short lines, one job per line. So it's super simple. Show the micro purpose and consent clearly. So in the example that I used above, if I were going to DM it, it was like, your story on no shows, ugh, right? So I don't have to say a lot. Your story on no shows, ugh. 2-minute fix that helps my clients. Want it or pass? Want it or no? See, I wouldn't say or pass. I would say want it or no. I might say want it, or do you have it figured out? Okay. Either of those, not any of those, is fine. If I were going to send that same thing in a bit of an email, you want to make sure that the subject carries the benefit. And then your body is going to have 3 mini sentences to it. So like, for example, your subject might say, reduce no-shows, 2-minute fix, right? That's going to get them to open the email. And then the rest of the formula is 3 mini sentences. If I'm doing a voice message, oh, and friends, this is a good one, 10 to 20 seconds. 10 to 20 seconds. Remember, your job is just to get them to want to continue the conversation, not hear the whole thing. So say why you're voicing them, name the trigger, state the micro purpose, and then ask permission. Quick voice message, your Tuesday cancellations. Man, that really stuck with me. One tweak. I know that can help. Do you want it? Super simple. So there's no, you guys, as you can see, there's no, how are you? How are the kids? How's the family? Oh my gosh, by the way, just get into it, you guys. Your friends, your prospects, everyone appreciates transparency. And you've got to make it sound like you. So if you're really more of a calm person, it's okay if you're like, hey, quick voice message for you because I saw your Tuesday story about all your cancellations and I have this one idea that could really help. Do you want to know what it is or have you it figured out? It's like there's 900 different variations of that all do the same thing based on your personality. Okay, so let's talk through some language prompts that will help you here. For permission, super easy to say things like, you know, want it or no? Can I send that or do you have it figured out? Open to a quick idea or pass? I'm a big fan, by the way, of letting people opt out early in the process. And I 100% believe in let them off the hook. So even something like helpful if I share or no, like, or skip, any of those things. I want to talk to people who want to talk to me. I do not want to drag people along with me. So don't think that because you don't offer a way out that somehow your script is better. I think it's 100% better to let them off the hook as soon as possible. If you want to practice more autonomy, you can say things like your call either way, yes, no, both perfect. I love that. Yes/no, both perfect. If it's a no, that's cool too. Those are all good. Make sure that you include how much time you think it's going to take. So like, hey, it's a 2-minute voice note that I have for you. It's a 10-minute. It's a 7-day micro test. It's a 1-pager. Let them know specifically what that little micro commitment looks like on their behalf. Okay, so how you're going to use this is you're going to consolidate this in your flows today. So today, pick one trigger event, choose how you're going to communicate it, write your opener with one breath, trigger, warmth, micro purpose, and consent. And then send the message today and track your results. Now, quick little extras here if you stayed all the way to the end. Things can go sideways. Don't spiral, just debug your open. But here's some things you need to know. If you are getting ghosted, it is largely because your trigger is too vague. So name a sharper moment. Your Tuesday story about 2 no-shows, and then add the micro purpose. Be more specific. If you get defensive replies, remove any assumptions. Like maybe you made some assumptions and swap things like you need for if it's helpful, right? If it's helpful. Instead of being bossy, I'm a bossy girl, so I actually do have to rewrite a lot of my scripts. Here's another one, the wall of text. Make sure you are following the one breath rule. If you need to inhale while you are saying it, cut it out. You don't need to be louder. You just need to be clearer. And when your open matches their moment and in your voice, selling feels so good because it feels like helping. And the truth is, because it is. So 2 things to help you. One is your authentic DNA guide, a 10-minute little mini guide that will help you unlock your voice and your secret traits so that you do not sound like a robot. That is in the show notes. Please connect with me on social media. Let me know how things are working out for you. And we will continue this series next week as well. Have a good one and be you, because ain't nobody else but you to be you.